And we are recording if you're ready.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Weisbert. So I'm calling to order the May 14th, 2021 Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners to order at 1:30. Item number two is our roll call.
Barbara Paulson.
Present.
Charlene Marbs.
Present.
Victoria Cantella.
Present.
Christopher Daly.
Present.
Quentin McAllister.
Present.
Vicki Igarola.
Present.
Karen Whiteford, present. And Mark Harris.
Present. And Madam Chair, members of the board, we're also joined this afternoon by one of my new colleagues, Peru Josula. I think she may be appearing by phone, and she is going to be providing legal services to the Arizona Medical Board, and as part of her kind of initial training, we thought it would be a good idea if she observed the board's meeting this afternoon. So thank you in advance for allowing her to participate.
Absolutely. Welcome. All right, moving on to agenda item three, declaration of conflicts of interest. Did anybody find any of that? No?
This is Charlene Marbs. I don't have any.
Quentin McAllister, I do not either.
Victoria Mr. Daly, I saw your head shaking no.
I'll give the verbal no.
Okay, and Victoria, you're good?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, great, thanks. Moving on to item four. I have a kind of a two-part thing today, so we're gonna look at our future meetings.
Madam Chair, I will be out on June the 11th.
Okay, so, and Dr. McAllister, you will not be here either.
I won't be available for June or July.
Okay.
And then, Karen, I don't know if this is the time to say that June 11th will be my last meeting.
Yeah.
I'm moving to Washington.
You know, I'm so excited for you.
But sad for us.
I'm feeling pretty sad about it.
Right.
I'm sorry, you guys. It all happened so quick, but it's kind of a dream place, so.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Okay, so.
For the record, Barbara, I will retire at the same time as my regular job, too, if need be, okay? Just letting you guys know.
Okay.
What it feels like.
All right. And also, looking for people's feelings today on... possibly returning to in-person meetings. As I met with silence.
I mean, that would be great. I only have one left, but that would be great.
I vote yes.
Yes, to go back to in-person?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm out. But I like the fact that I can go to a home health session right after this, or you know, have one right before it. So, but
okay.
I'm counting my days anyway. So,
okay.
And I like Dr. McAllister. I like that I can work around my meetings and not have to take as much time. But I will return with the majority.
Mr. Daly, did you comment?
My vote was yes, return in person.
Okay, I thought I missed that. So, you know, and we always have the option, you know, to participate by phone when we want to, too. But, okay, that sounds good. Do I have to get your input, Miss Whiteford and Miss Igarola? Or
no. Well, I'm good with being in person. I'm at the office today. And, you know, we do have a lot of complaints that will be reviewed in the next few months, so it is easier to do in person. I think it sends a message to our licensees that, you know, this is important when we review these complaints, that, you know, we're all there.
So do we kind of have a target date? Are we going to start next month, or...
I would think as long as everyone's okay with it, we start next month.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for your input, everybody. Okay, moving on to agenda item 5. We're going to be looking at some meeting minutes. Starting with 5A, the executive session meeting minutes from February 5th. And the only ones that were there were Ms. Marks, Dr. McAllister, and myself. So
that was item 5A.
Victoria, you can abstain when we make a motion on that.
That's okay.
So I would move that we accept the executive session meeting minutes from February 5th. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marks. I second.
Barbara Paulson? Did you say aye, Barbara?
I did say aye, yes.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
Victoria Cantella?
Aye. Abstain.
Chris Staley.
I abstain.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
So that motion passes. Item B, the regular session meeting minutes of February 12th. Ms. Marks, you were not present at that one, so if you would abstain, that would be great. I'll make a motion that we approve those meeting minutes from February 12th.
I'll second the motion.
That was Dr. McAllister?
Correct.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
I abstain.
Victoria Cantella?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. We're going to skip line items C and D, and we will revisit those next month. Moving on to item E, regular session minutes of April 9th. We were all there, so I'll make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes from April 9th. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, I believe Ms. Marbs was the first one.
Yes, she beat it. Okay. All right, all in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Victoria Cantella?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. And last, but certainly not least, the regular session meeting minutes of April 20th. I did notice one error, Ms. Whiteford.
Okay.
It was on the start time of the meeting.
Oh, that was a special meeting, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not. It wasn't 8:01 p.m.
No, we're a hard-working group, but we usually don't. So you'll make that correction and we'll take care of that next month?
Actually, it can be approved with that correction.
Okay. All right. So I make a motion that we do approve the April 20th meeting minutes with the correction of the start time.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor?
Barbara Paulson? Your microphone must be cutting out. Did you say aye?
I didn't hear you.
Oh, Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Victoria Cantella?
This is the 20th, right? I believe I was absent, but abstain.
Oh, she was. Yes. I'm sorry I missed that. Good catch.
No worries. No problem.
Okay. Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Done with those. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 6, the review consideration of possible action on complaints. Up first is 6A1, an initial review complaint on, and is it Andrea or Andrea? Brennan.
And that's fine. Andrea is just fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Shuffle some papers. So this was a complaint filed by Landis Sabelski in November of 2020. At the time, Ms. Sabelski was a NAU occupational therapy student. Ms. Brennan was her capstone mentor, as well as a course instructor in the chronic edema and lymphedema certification course. This complaint included three allegations referencing three principles from the American Occupational Therapy Association Code of Ethics. And that was outlined in the investigation report summary. I'm just going to quickly read the three allegations. Allegation one was against principle two, which is occupational therapy personnel shall refrain from actions that cause harm. Allegation number two was principle six, occupational therapy personnel shall treat clients, colleagues, and other professionals with respect, fairness, discretion, and integrity. And allegation three was principle five, which reads, occupational therapy personnel shall provide comprehensive, accurate, and objective information when representing the profession. So for the purposes of our initial review, we're going to be looking at the unprofessional conduct as defined in the Arizona Revised Statute 32.3401, which reads, any conduct or practice that violates recognized standards of ethics of the occupational therapy profession, any conduct or practice that does or might constitute a danger to the health, welfare, or safety of the client or the public, or any conduct, practice, or condition that does or might impair the licensee's ability to safely and skillfully practice occupational therapy. I'd like to make a brief note, too, that Ms. Sabelski was also requesting a refund payment from Ms. Brennan's class, and I wanted to make it clear that this board does not have statutory oversight to order such a refund.
I understand.
So, There was a lot of information submitted by Ms. Sabelski and Ms. Brennan. So at this time, I guess I would ask board members to ask questions if they have any, or clarification or comments on this complaint.
Madam Chair, I just had a question, and this may be to Dr. McAllister, and to the others. In the cases that we've heard in the past or seen, this really seemed like a schooling issue and not a licensing issue. So I wasn't really sure how all of this applied to the statute. So if they could give, or, you know, share some insight, I think that would be great. Mr. Daly as well. And
okay. Well, the complaint is specific to unprofessional conduct, so that's a valid area to file a complaint in, wouldn't it be?
Oh, I agree there, but we've always applied it towards patients and
yes,
such.
Yes.
So I guess this is where it's throwing me off a bit, and I'd like a little more clarity. And there was no specific date or listing of dates. I mean, I got the general gist of what was being said, but how it applies in a classroom setting is what's throwing me off as a board member.
Okay. And I can so relate with that, because we usually do what when she was a student and things, and we haven't had one come before the board since I've been on. I don't know if Dr. McAllister has any insights on that. You've been on the board longer.
I cannot remember anything even remotely similar to this. It is quite unique. I'm struggling to kind of figure out where this lands to.
Okay.
And technically it could be applicable to therapy students, research subjects, other employees or colleagues, but our main focus would be the consideration, is that truly a violation of Arizona 32340? Does that truly apply in this situation?
Yes, I agree. Very well put, Mr. Daly. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. McAllister. Thank you, Mr. Daly. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Sure. Ms. Sabelski, I have a question for you. I noticed in some of the materials that were submitted, there was a formal complaint form for the American Occupational Therapy Association Ethics Committee, and I was just curious if you had submitted a complaint form to them on the issues.
No, ma'am, I have not. I submitted a complaint to NAU's HR department. Before that, I submitted, I actually met with Dr. Rogers, the chair of the occupational therapy department. She found no ethics breach, and she referred me to the equity and access department. And they also didn't think that Dr. Brennan had breached any ethics. That's why I came to you.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments or questions?
Ms. Brennan's on the line, sir.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan, I have a question for you. I was reviewing in the documents that you provided an option for possible telehealth or telecommunication because of the concern with traveling for COVID. It looked like you gave a whole year to make up some of those compliant or things, the tests that needed to be redone.
Yes, that
you're
is
offering a second option. Okay. So
with
that,
option.
And if those are completed, then that would complete the course and then give her a completed certificate.
Yes, by May 12th, 2021. Yes, I extended it the year.
Mm-hmm.
May I say something?
Thank you very much.
May I speak?
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Sabelski.
And I don't know if this can be seen. This is, while I was taking the course with Dr. Brennan, the competencies had to be signed, and all of my competencies are signed. I received my certification the 9th of January 19th. I held it in my hands. It was passed to every person attending that course. 3 weeks later, Dr. Brennan decided that I did not pass the course. There are witnesses to my having received that certification. We celebrated as a class having passed that course. I sat across from Dr. Brennan's husband and next to her while we celebrating passing the course. She decided that 3 weeks later, when she breached ethics by being disdainful and disrespectful to me, huffing and puffing in front of patients, raising her voice, and comparing me to other students and saying that I was far behind others, when I asked if there was something that I could do to help with documentation, she told me she didn't have time for that. So she decides after the fact that I did not pass. I have asked for documentation about the results of my test. She blocked my access to CASLE-SMIT, which is the agency overseeing the MLD chapter in the United States. She is the gatekeeper of that. Every time I try to contact CASLE-SMIT, it will route to her. And I would get no answer. The fact that she's saying that she's giving me another option says that I failed the course, which is mendacious. I passed the course. There are witnesses, and I have delineated that in my letter to you.
Ms. Brennan, handing this in the graduation ceremony, and no apologies to the university. This all the time for students where they still have some credits to create, but to, I guess, for lack of a better term, save face in graduation. They let students march and they, you know, have the diploma cover. Is that some of what was taking place for the purposes of this ceremony?
Yes, that is correct. You will see in submission 7A, is a photograph of which everybody received a certification, a certificate. And Landis received a certificate, but if you look at it, there is no signature there. And she also was quite clear that I even accidentally misspelled her name. And on that certificate that I have without my signature, that's correct. I mistakenly spelled her name incorrectly. So we did have that, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for sharing that. This is really sounding more like an HR university school student issue to me.
Can I make a comment, please?
Who's that?
I am Victoria.
Oh,
My name is Tawny Malmgren, and I'm an occupational therapist licensed in the state of Arizona, and I just want to make a couple comments. I was a classmate of Dr. Sobleski's, and I just want to make clear that my colleague Landis had concerns that she was treated differently, potentially because of her race. And I think that if you look into the comments of the letter, which I helped edit and looked at, I think that, you know, the way that she was treated as a woman of color, as someone from a different country, having her intelligence questioned openly was very difficult, and I witnessed the emotional and financial harm that was caused, and I can speak to that. And I'd also like to just to bring note that the AOTA outlined in their Vision 2025 that we have a strong commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that a statement, occupational therapy's commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, quote, supports efforts to increase diversity, equity, and inclusion within all aspects of occupational therapy, including practice, education, and research, as well as policy development and advocacy. And I think that this, to me, I want to make clear and put in the record that, to me, this situation is a question of whether or not we're going to allow folks from different backgrounds to have the same opportunities and be treated the same way as our white counterparts. I just want to make that very clear. And I also want to say that, you know, OT's history of this gatekeeping, this particular course was presented as the only way to get this type of education, and that not only impacted Landis's education, but also her professional career. She'll never go into lymphedema, and she was passionate about it at one point, and now that's been cut off to her as a practitioner. I think that the onus is on Ms. Brennan to have tangible, objective data that, you know, what was missed, and I don't think that was ever really given, and I would love to know if that's available, and also to know, you know, Ms. Brennan's thoughts on her behavior and how it might impact people from different backgrounds and how that lands. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts and your comments on that.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to be clear, and I'm guessing we'll need to go into executive session, but is it a question of it's a complaint because an accusation of discrimination, or is it about not being able to get a license and coursework? So what are we, because we can't refund the money, we can't order that, that's not in our jurisdiction. So what is it that's clearly being sought now that the discrimination issue is being raised?
Right. One clarification, I think, Ms. Sobleski, you're licensed in, are you in Florida?
Yes, ma'am.
So you are a licensed occupational therapist.
Okay. Yes. Right after I became licensed, I asked again Dr. Brennan for my certificate. I asked for test results, February 15th, February 18th, March 13th, May 14th, May 18th. I've yet to receive the results of my examinations under Dr. Brennan. If I didn't pass the course, why was I told 3 weeks later that I was going to repeat something that I passed?
So, for clarity, while you were taking the course, and your classmate, I guess, can answer this too. So while you were taking the course, after you took an exam, there were no graded exams passed out after that. There were no grades mentioned immediately after you took multiple exams. So is that how courses work?
Yes, there was one written exam that initially Dr. Brennan attempted to say that I did not pass, and I reminded her that I did. There were two practical exams. In one practical exam during the leg massage, I made a mistake. Another person in the room made a mistake, but she was doing the arm massage. Both of us remediated that part, and it was fine. We all passed the course. And that night, I was given that certificate. And she told me in these words, "Sweetheart, I am going to have to hold your certificate until after you become an OT." The witnesses that I have mentioned, I don't know if they have been called.
So did the school, you talk to the school about getting copies of your exams, your written exams?
Yes, ma'am. I asked Dr. Rogers to intercede for me and asked Dr. Brennan for them.
And the results of that was?
That it was my word against hers and that she needed witnesses. When I provided an email with witnesses, names, and phone numbers, she said that I needed to go back to Dr. Brennan.
Dr. Brennan, would you address the not giving the student the written exam for them to see, for her to see her grade?
The issue is not the written exams. There was a written exam and an oral exam, and then there's practical exams. Okay, so you look at the practical. Let me just say that the lymphedema program was different from her NAU school. Does that make clear? That was a different program. So I teach people to become certified lymphedema therapists, and there are certain criteria that they have to pass. I've taught in China, I've taught in Philippines, I've taught in Bogota, Colombia, I've taught all over the world the same curriculum. At the end of the day, after all of the curriculum, they have to pass the practical exam for providing the sequences for upper body swelling and lower body swelling. And I shared with Landis that on the night of the program, I shared with her when we were finishing the program and people were walking for our little graduation, I did share with her that she did not pass the two practicals. However, we have 4 months because she is going to be a student with me at Encompass Health. In order for her to consider her capstone in lymphedema, I offered a lymphedema course during the time in January and opened it up to anybody who wanted it, because in order to provide her the opportunity to work in lymphedema, she needed to be go through certification. And Casely Smith International only allows certified therapists or licensed therapists to do this. So as a courtesy to NAU, as a courtesy to Ms. Zabilski, I offered a certification class the first 2 weeks or the second 2 weeks in January, just like I did the students before her and the student before her the previous years.
I wanted to know, Dr. Brennan, if when you had a student with you, you told them after the fact that they didn't pass. It is the first time that I'm hearing that I didn't pass. The other person
Ms. Landis?
Yes.
Ms. Landis, I had addressed a question to Dr. Brennan, and I'd like to finish and
I'm sorry. My bad.
Dr. Brennan, thank you for sharing your credentials and your history. And just my original question was, is it typical to not provide a copy of your written exam to a student when they take the written exam?
They I gave the written test all back to them for review. We looked at all the answers, but because of the nature of the exams, they give it back to us. Because we use, many times we use these questions over for other certification classes. So they all were given the opportunity to read it, to look at it, and we also took the time to review what was wrong, and she did pass it. Practical.
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt. Thanks, Ms. Marbs. I see multiple issues that remain unsolved here, but I believe this surpasses the scope of our oversight, and I'd just kind of like to direct us back to state statute. I don't think this falls under our oversight responsibility, is my opinion.
Madam Chair, if I may, I tend to agree with you. You know, there are multiple length certifications that can be achieved, and I'm not an expert on any of those different certifications credentials, but you can be a physical therapist and achieve those. There's other primary practitioners that can get this additional certification. So I would tend to agree with you that I don't see this falls in the scope of our statutes for Arizona's occupational therapy examiners. And then to address the accusation of race by her colleague, parallel student, is a gross reach without some valid evidence. And that would be almost as egregious as if it was actual discrimination itself.
Mr. Harris, and I agree with you, Dr. McAllister, thank you for sharing that as well. Mr. Harris, do you have any legal comment to make?
Madam Chair, Member Barb, I would be more than happy if you wanted to go into executive session for legal advice, if you thought that was appropriate.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we go to executive session.
For legal advice?
For legal advice.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Victoria Cantella?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Oh, the motion passes, so we will go into executive session at 2:08 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Members of the public, the board is going to go into executive session. It's a confidential conversation, so I will move you to the lobby, the meeting lobby, where you won't be able to hear what we're talking about. And then as soon as we come back to regular session, I'll move you back into the meeting. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, so I have myself, Barbara Paulson, Colin User 2, who is, that's